What is up, everyone? Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast. Evan's on vacation, so we've got Dandy Cunningham from ESPN Cleveland filling in today. Segment one, what's going on with Colin Sexton right now? Segment two, what the heck does this tell us about the Cavs think about Colin Sexton? And segment three, how do we see this getting resolved? I want to thank you, by the way, for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we are free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
All right, the music you heard on the way in, at least in audio form, is from our friends at Astro Radio. Check them out on Spotify or Apple Music. Again, I'm Chris Manning, covering the Cavs and the NBA for places like Diamond Uprocks and SB Nation's Fear the Sword. My guest today, filling in with Evan on vacation, is Dandy Cunningham from ESPN 850 here in Cleveland. Danny, what's good, brother? How are you?
I'm just hanging out, man, enjoying a brand new studio on the East Bank of the Flats that we recently moved into, and awaiting news on Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. Other than that, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Browns training camp is up and at it, and of course, I was like, Danny, would you like to talk about Colin Sexton with me? And you were like, yes, I would like to talk about Colin Sexton.
Well, that to my memory, that's not exactly how our conversation went.
Paraphrasing. You also, for the people watching, you had a glorious Top Gun-esque mustache. I'm a little upset you shaved it. I understand it. It's a lot of maintenance. It's probably hot, but I wish you still had it.
Well, I had a full-on beard. I played in a golf outing last weekend with some of my college friends, and we all did mustaches for it. So that's what I was, you know, I grew it out strictly for that. I shaved my face with a razor for the first time in like 3 years. Just so that mustache would pop.
Wow. I love that for you. I love the commitment. Let's talk about someone that is not being committed to right now, and that's Colin Sexton. Too harsh, but fair. So
true.
To refresh where we're at with Colin, last year, only plays 11 games, gets injured, did not get the extension last summer, has not had an extension yet this summer. He is still a restricted free agent. The last we have heard is that the Cavs have maybe offered, according to ChrisRudoCleveland.com, is around 3 years, $40 million. That is around the Jordan Clarkson contract number that we have heard out there for a while. Danny, this is, as you look at this and we think about where Colin is at and we think about how the Cavs have approached this, are you surprised that it has gotten to this point? Because I kind of am not, now that we look back at it. Like, it almost feels like this is, especially once he got hurt, this feels very much like a logical place for this to end up, unfortunately.
So I'm not surprised that, in a sense, the Cavs have dragged their feet here or failed to commit to him. I am, in a sense, surprised that no one in the NBA wanted to take a lottery ticket with the Mega Millions on Friday, take a lottery ticket on a guy like Colin Sexton, who is young, still has plenty of upside. You know, when we have this discussion about him, we talk about Colin Sexton because his future role on the Cavs in the immediate future, should he be back next year, looks like he's going to be a sixth man. And I think that we've kind of fallen into a trap a little bit as if that's all he can ever be. I think that's probably the most likely outcome as to what he could be, but I think that there's so much more that he could be in should certain things go certain ways. But I'm surprised there hasn't been a single team in the NBA that's come forward and said, you know what, Colin, we will sign you to a big offer sheet because we do think you can be a borderline all-star type of guy. It only takes one team to do that. And then, of course, the Cavs would have the opportunity to match that should they want to sign that offer sheet. But I'm surprised there's been nothing. It's not just that the Cavs have lowballed him. There haven't been any good offers from any other teams, because if there were, he would have signed it.
Yeah. And there are two teams left right now functionally with cap space, the San Antonio Spurs and the Indiana Pacers. I think that's a really good point, Danny, because not only have the Cavs not really done enough to do what they needed to like give him like an adequate offer, which is, I think, something we'll come back to here and what an adequate offer for him seems to be. But like, Indiana did the DeAndre Ayton thing. They didn't go then take that money and apply it to Colin Sexton. The Spurs seem very content, even after trading DeJounte Murray, to say, we have Josh Primo, we have Devin Vassell, we have other guards that we are going to roll with, and we're going to do what we're going to do here, and we don't feel a need to have Colin Sexton. There hasn't been, you know, nary a report, a leak, or anything about a legitimate kind of approach to Colin as far as the sign-in trade goes. And, of course, that would require the Cavs to also be a party to that, so that certainly, I think, complicates things. But there hasn't been a team that's kind of made their interest known in that way. And it just seems like the Cavs have, as we're looking at this, I think decided two things, Danny. Tell me if you think these are fair. Number one, I think they've decided, I think it's clear to me that this tells us a little bit how much they value him and don't value him. And we will come back to that a little bit. The other part of it is I think they've decided they can now squeeze him. I have a column going up about this at Fear the Sword that people can check out Friday morning. But it feels like they have decided, they look at this market for him, they look at the scenario of him coming out off injury, all of these factors, and they've decided that they're going to maximize their leverage here. And like that is driving down the price, that is making it uncomfortable for us to get any new information on this. It's uncomfortable to think about this from Colin's perspective, because there's a lot of, like, it's just unfortunate that he is in this situation for him as a basketball player trying to make the most money he can.
Sure.
It just feels like the squeeze is on him, and he's being squeezed from every single angle is really where I come down on this.
He is, and in a sense, you do feel bad for the guy, because this is when you're supposed to cash in as an NBA player. If you're not, you know, a multi-time All-Star, your first big contract after your rookie deal is when you really make the most money you're going to make in your career. And for Colin to have it go like this, it is a disappointing thing for him. But in the same breath, Chris, can't blame the Cavs for wanting to use their leverage here. You can't, because the difference between signing Colin Sexton to a deal that he feels he deserves versus the Cavs signing him to a deal that they think they can get him to sign could be a really good player down the road. Now, I'm not sure how good of a player, but it's something that certainly could change the equation, especially should the cap jump in a couple of years, the way that we always hear rumors that it's going to at a certain point. And that's kind of, I think, the game the Cavs are playing inside their own minds is, well, if we can get Colin Sexton for $13 million a year instead of $27 million a year, how does that change our future outlook? And I have to say, it probably changes it quite a bit.
I understand this. Like, I understand why they're doing this. You know what I mean? Like, I can look at this and say that I think in a vacuum, Colin is probably going to be worth more than I think the 13, the Jordan Clark's contract.
I would agree.
I think you're betting on his upside. I also just look at the Cavs saying, and this just like makes sense from a Kobe Altman perspective. I don't feel like we still know a ton about Kobe in a lot of ways because he's so reserved and he doesn't do a lot of media and he's very careful with his words. But like, this is a guy that comes from, what we do know about him is he comes from a finance background. The most insightful interview I've ever seen with him is something I say a lot, is an interview he did with a Goldman Sachs panel that you can go watch on YouTube. Like,
yeah,
the way he talks is very corporate. It is very of that mold. And like, I think looking at this and saying, we just gave Darius Garland almost $200 million, above $200 million if he hits the escalators. We gave Jared Allen $100 million last summer. Maybe, maybe not. We're saving money for next summer for a certain to bring a certain guy home for one last run. We're planning for Evan Mobley's max and stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think that should a certain guy sign a certain extension with a certain team on August 7th when he's able to, or August 4th or whatever day it is? Let's say he signs that extension. Do we think that changes the equation here? Or do we think that the Cavs are going to try and use their leverage? And I also think we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up the fact that Colin's agent is one that the Cavs are more familiar with, I'd say, than any other agent in the sport right now, at least this front office, because you look at the guys who he not only represents now on the team and Darius Garland, but the guys that he's represented that this organization has dealt with in the past, because the list is very long.
Yeah. It's a group that they know very well.
Yes.
Right. Like it's an agency clutch that they know pretty well. And look, it's not the be all end all,
but it goes into it.
No. And it's like, I mean, Rich Paul, who's like the head of the agency, took a picture with Darius Garland and Kobe Altman in a very nice restaurant in Las Vegas this summer. Like when they did that, like They also did the Tristan Thompson thing, right? Like they had that stare down with each other for months. Like they've
the
had
J.R.
both sides
stare down.
The J.R. Smith stare down. The endless LeBron stare down. Like, there's been a lot of that on that side, and like it also is worth noting that Colin switched agencies. He was CAA before. That's where, like, I think a lot of the Knicks, the Heat stuff was coming from. They were trying to generate some leverage and force that offer, and this is just playing out in a different way. And I think ultimately, like, we're seeing the squeeze. And look, I think it's Danny, we'll end on this in segment one. I think it is clear that the Cavs have not re-signed him because it's a mix of the value question that we've talked about, but I think also maybe this has to beg the question of, how much do the Cavs really like Colin Sexton if they haven't gone out of their way to just get something done at this point? I understand playing your leverage. I understand all of that. I think if you really, really like a guy, you just kind of, I would tend to think you probably just are more likely to just try to get it done than not.
I would agree. It's because, Chris, you know, when you say that, it's clear they really, really like Jared Allen. What happened last year, Jared Allen got a 5-year, $100 million deal. It's clear they really, really like Darius Garland, who signed the fun max, as ESPN's Brian Windhorst calls it, or you know, potentially the rookie scale designated player extension should he make an All-NBA team this year. It's clear they really, really like those guys, and I think in a couple years it'll be very, very clear that they really, really, really like Evan Mobley, but it's also clear they don't feel the same about Colin.
Yeah, and that I understand that, but it complicates this whole question. All right, after the break, let's talk about that very question. So, how much do they like Colin? What do we think the plan is? Like, what is complicating this from a Cavs perspective? But first, going to tell everyone about our friends at Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourselves of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. It's covered in chocolate. It's got indulgent cookie dough. It's a cookie dough chunk puff. They have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All of the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it, plus it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories and have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to built.com. Well, you can't run on the internet, but like type really fast and go to built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It'll be the perfect treat, or you can find a really good hiding place for them and just hoard them for yourself. Like all Built Bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and tasty. Chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. It's so good. What's great about Built is that all their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you, too. So, go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code is LOCKED15 at Built.com. All right, back here with Danny Cunningham on the Locked On Cavs podcast. So, Danny, let's just note that Kobe Altman has said publicly that they do like Colin Sexton. They cited culture and this stuff. This is, I think, showing the extent of how much sometimes some of the public things they say we can take to the bank as like pure cold hard facts. I don't think that was like a dishonest statement, but it is also like, again, you mentioned the Jared Allen thing. You meant the Darius Garland got his extension. They got that done. That was a no-brainer for them. This Colin Sexton thing is clearly taking a step here. So, go ahead.
You know, Kobe Altman's paid to do a lot of things. And this is true for every executive across every team in every major sport. If you're a fan of the Dallas Mavericks, if you're a fan of the New York Knicks, like, for instance, you know what Leon Rose and Kobe Altman and every other executive across basketball is not paid to do? Tell the truth. That's not part of the job description. It's never going to be part of the job description. So I do have to caution people all the time. You know, when we hear coaches, executives, other front office members, what have you may, say things, it's not always truthful. They're not up there on truth serum. They're not under oath when they're speaking. They can lie to you, and they often do.
Think about how many times in the past year people have heard various Browns executives say nice things about wanting to have Baker Mayfield around as their quarterback.
Yes, exactly. All the time. And it was never the truth. And that's okay. It's the job of the journalist to find that out. That's part of how this relationship works between journalists and teams.
Yes, 100%. And I think for us to look skeptically at it, and I think as fans, it's probably important to look skeptically at it and say, okay, what is like the actual happening in front of me here that I can take information from and glean from that, regardless of what they said. To get to bring back Colin, they would have to, at this point, I think, move off of one of Wendler or Osman to create a space. That would be like maybe second round pick. I can say that they, when the Rubio thing happened, they kept it open for a sign and trade. That didn't ultimately happen. They still have the roster spot full as a result. They would have to move someone somewhere to kind of figure this out and get that done. The other angle of this is maybe that I wonder if there is, in addition to the squeeze we're talking about, Danny, I wonder if there is some hesitancy of just saying, like, let's not put all of our chips for the summer down before, like, some of this trade stuff has happened. I wonder if they're also saying, like, look, there's no rush with Colin because there's no market for him. We can afford to wait this out a little bit. I wonder if there's some of that in this as far as them playing that game of, okay, we keep a little flexibility. We keep a little bit of our roster not being kind of constructed yet. If we can move some chips around in other spots and we can bring him back or he gets signed and traded in that, I wonder if there's some stuff, maybe on both sides, frankly, waiting to see where that kind of goes.
There might be, but I do also think that, you know, something like this stains the relationship forever. Think about how many times guys have left their team in free agency, and they've done that after, when they were a restricted free agent, they signed an offer sheet elsewhere, their team matched them, they stuck around for a few more years, and then they bolted once they were an unrestricted free agent, right? Like the Gordon Hayward situation is the prime example of it, where I believe he signed an offer sheet in Charlotte way back in 2014. Mm-hmm. It was the summer LeBron was available. And, you know, Utah said, no, we're going to match. You're part of our future. We really like you. But they still let him go and do it. And I think that does speak to how much they actually do like you. And it is something that it's going to stain the relationship. Like, you could have thought, and of course, in the NBA, in all sports, things change at an incredibly rapid pace. You could have gone into this offseason thinking, you know what, I think Colin Sexton is going to play for the Cavs for the rest of his career. And maybe that could have been true. But now you could go in thinking, I think Colin Sexton is going to be on the Cavs next year, but there's no way Colin Sexton plays his entire career in Cleveland. At some point, he is going to leave in free agency, because players, agents, they don't forget this type of thing. And I know the Cavs have a great relationship with Rich Paul and Clutch Sports, but a player's not going to forget how he was treated when he was a restricted free agent, and that's always going to matter.
Yeah, I would wonder if you – Colin is not a guy to ever say very much media-wise.
Sure.
But
sure.
If you could get, this is one of those moments where, like, if you gave me like three, I got three moments all year to like pick true serum from a Cavs player, this would be one of the things. It's like, I want to know what Colin feels about this. I want to know how he actually feels about this, because, like, I don't think he was always very comfortable with it, but this is a guy that the franchise like really pushed. And then he is kind
for
of
better or worse. They did
for better or worse. And that has now rescinded to a point where, like, it's very clearly, like, Darius Garland's team and Evan Mobley's team and Jared Allen's team and Colin. Like, there's a transition here from a basketball perspective that is going to have to happen with this. If he comes back, his role is just not going to be the same. His usage rate last year before he goes down was still pretty high, but that was before Darius Garland had really, really gotten going. That was before Evan Mobley had even had a chance to get his feet wet, basically, and he's now in year two. Caris LeVert wasn't on the team yet. You have a lot of factors that are going to change his role. There's an adjustment there. I could argue that that role could be maybe better for Sexton and bring a different side of him out that is maybe better for him contributing to winning basketball. But it's an adjustment. And what does he want? What does Colin want is like ultimately one of the things. Like, what kind of style does he want to play? He has said himself he wants to be in Cleveland. Okay, if that, I'm sure that's somewhat true. He said it. I'm going to take him at his value, at face value there. How much is it true? Is it 75% true? Is it 90% true? Like, what part of him is looking elsewhere as well? It's an open question to me in this.
I would have to think that Colin does want to be in Cleveland to an extent. But Chris, in just getting to speak with athletes across, you know, all sports.
Yeah.
Guys want to be where they're wanted. And mm-hmm. If Colin doesn't feel like he's wanted here, he's not going to want to be here forever.
Yeah. And my read on the summer is I kind of wonder if this whole thing, I think the subtext of the message here is, I think it's fair to wonder how much the Cavs truly want Colin Sexton. And that is where I keep coming back to.
I completely agree.
People can tell me that's unfair or not. People can get mad at me or whatever. I've had this conversation with people and like ask them what they think of this off the mic, and I've gotten a little bit of pushback, and I just can't read it any other way at this point. I'm pilled on this.
Well, it always goes back to, oh, you know, it's a business. This is the business of basketball, and that's true. The Cavs are in the business of winning games and doing what's best for, or what they believe is best for the organization. But in this business, it's also a business of keeping the guys around that you really, really want to have around. Gets back to your point. The Cavs really, really wanted to keep Darius Garland around. So what did they do? The moment they were allowed, they offered him a maximum contract extension.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, Darius Garland's not nearly as high up on the totem pole as some, even while I understood going into the offseason, Darius Garland is priority number one. He is the future, not face of the franchise, but he is the future second best player in a team that could win a finals one day. That is how good the Cavs should think he is. I thought they would think more of Colin Sexton than it appears they do.
And I think something that $13 million, obviously, that maybe he's getting offered here is something to do with the luxury tax. That is also a more tradable number. I would just keep that kernel in mind. If you're
very much so, too.
Just pencil, put that in the back of your head if he comes back and they celebrate it, and as they should. But keep that in mind as we move forward with this. All right, one more break. Let's talk about if the qualifying offer is an option for Sexton after this. All right, last segment with Danny Cunningham here. Danny, I asked the question before the break. I'm going to ask it here again now. Is the qualifying offer something that you could envision Colin Sexton actually entertaining?
It is. I went from at the start of the summer thinking, you know what, no matter what, the Cavs and Sexton are going to work something out. I never really believed that he was going to see the duration of his second contract in Cleveland because I thought it would be a number somewhere around $20 million a year that, you know, whether it be 3 for $60 or 4 for $80, I thought he'd be back, and I thought he'd be back on a contract that was relatively tradable, and I thought he would end up being part of a future move. Now I've kind of swung myself over to the belief that Sexton's going to be back in Cleveland next year, but it's going to be on that one-year qualifying offer, and then he's going to be somewhere else by the time the 2023-2024 season starts. And I do think that if you're a Cavs fan, that's the worst-case scenario because, yeah, you're going to get a good player in Colin Sexton back next season, but it's hard for me to see him in wine and gold 2 years from now. And if he's back on the qualifying offer, I don't believe you can trade him. I believe he does have veto rights on any trade. And that is going to be something that not only are you going to lose Colin Sexton, you're going to lose him and not get an asset in return.
The part of it that I think for him in that sense is interesting is even if it is not the most guaranteed money in the world for him to take the 13 a year, there would be... I almost feel like there's more risk for him than, say, like, if Ayton would have done it. And Ayton ultimately didn't have to do it. But if, let's say, Ayton had taken the qualifying and played it out, I almost think there's more risk for Colin just because there is a very tricky... His role is going to be complicated this year. His fit is not going to be so catered to him that he can put up, like, a ton of numbers the way that we've seen him do before. Like, Danny, before we did this podcast, the night before when I was prepping it, I went back and watched, like, his highlights of the Nets game where he had the 20 straight. Like, maybe the best performance we've ever seen from him.
Sure. I would agree.
The way he gets to play in that game was, like, a style he got to play for, like, a real amount of time. That is not going to be, like, something he can do maybe more than a few times a year now. Because this is how Darius often, Garland. This is Darius Garland's offense now. This is Evan Mobley's offense now.
How often in Colin's life, Cavs, Alabama, high school, AAU, how often in his life has he ever operated as not just not the best player, but not even the second best player? Because he's going to be operating in Jarrett Allen's offensive role is obviously different as someone who's not super high usage in terms of having the ball in his hands all the time. But Colin Sexton, at best, is going to have the ball in his hands the third most because Darius Garland's going to have the ball in his hands more than anybody. Mm-hmm. And Evan Mobley is going to be right up there too. His usage, I think, is going to take a pretty big jump this year in year two of his career. How is Colin going to be able to adjust to that role? Because that's what it's going to have to be in Cleveland. They cannot operate any other way.
There are ways I think his game is, like, in ways we haven't totally seen. There's little bit glimpses of ways that I think this could be massaged. Like, I think him as a cutter is, I think, underrated. they're weirdly, Danny, I was looking at some of his like highlights and some clips, and like there was some interesting chemistry with Andre Drummond, and like him like feeding Andre Drummond in a high post and Drummond feeding him on like a back cut. Like that was a thing that worked. And I'm like, oh, I could see this working with Evan Mobley, who's a better passer than Andre Drummond. And if yes. you have the spacing, right? Like there's ways this could work, but it is going to be an adjustment. And it just, he has to, I think, ramp up the 3-point volume. The defense has to be, I think,
much better.
And like, how do they balance him and Caris LeVert? It's just like a question. How do you balance him and Ricky Rubio once Ricky Rubio is back? There's just like a lot of stuff where it's, how does this all kind of come together is a question that I think it would result in a different looking offense last year, because last year, especially after Rubio went down, this was Darius Garland's show. And I think you want to take the burden off him a little bit. Colin could help that, but you have
but
these other guys. It is still his show. And it's probably time for Evan Mobley to now do more on the offensive end. I'm expecting an offensive leap from Evan Mobley. You should empower Evan Mobley. And even if it costs like Colin Sexton 5 touches a game, you should do that. Like, that's a thing you should do.
Chris, you speak about, you know, massaging his role. JB Bickerstaff's most unenviable task is not just that. How's this going to play in the locker room? Because let's say Sexton's back on a qualifying offer, so he's an unrestricted free agent. I'm operating personally under the thought process that Caris LeVert's not going to get an extension this summer. I think the Cavs like him.
Yeah, that's not happening.
And especially if LeBron doesn't extend with the Lakers, the Cavs, it's kind of a never say never thing between LeBron and the Cavs. And I don't want to like toss fuel into that fire, but it's also something we can't avoid. Like, it's a real possibility. So they're not going to extend Caris LeVert. So you're going to have two guys that play a very, very similar role, both on expiring contracts. One of them is very much going to want to start because teams across the league are going to look at that role as, okay, this guy's a starter on a good team, which we both expect the Cavs to be again this year, versus this guy came off the bench. He wasn't as good as Caris LeVert. Or it could be, you know, he wasn't as good as Isaac Okoro. Does Ochai Agbaji start? Like, there are so many questions that JB Bickerstaff's going to have to figure out. And it's going to not just is it going to impact how the team looks on the floor, the answers that he finds to those questions are going to impact the amount of money that these guys make in the future. And that is the position I would never want to be in as a head coach, but that's exactly where Bickerstaff's going to find himself.
Yeah, you would hope that I think the organization can withstand some of that because they've given him that extension. Kobe has the extension. Like, you have your tent poles in place now, in theory. Let's see how they would handle some of that as they're trying to take a step forward. Dana, let's end on this, though. Could you see us? I could see this. This is now kind of put out there. There was the Shams thing earlier this week where they maybe would run this into camp or into the season. I don't think that helps anybody.
I agree.
But I would wonder if, like, this is one of those things where it's like, if I could get True Searum into Colin and his representation, like, would you prefer to try to run it into the regular season and then try to make that leverage play where, like, people say, hey, we want Colin around, all that stuff? Or do you take the qualifying at that point? Like, there's like a question where I wonder
I
how they would approach it.
I think you take the qualifying at that point.
Okay.
Because we don't know a ton about Colin just like as a person. He's not an incredibly open person. He's not a very online person. He's not a very talkative guy with the media. But what I think I'm pretty comfortable in saying I know about Colin Sexton is the guy loves to play basketball, right? Like, he thoroughly enjoys playing the game of basketball. And I think that because of that, he is a guy that is far less likely to take just this weird restricted space he's in into training camp. When the Cavs report to Independence, Ohio for media day, Colin Sexton's not going to want to miss that. He's going to want to be on the floor with everybody. That seems to me, at least my read of him, that's the type of dude he is. So that pushes me into thinking probably qualifying offer.
Boy, that would be such a dramatic end to this and create such a – I would really wonder how they would handle that throughout the year. It would be such an interesting thing for us to evaluate that way.
It's going to be an organization that, depending what happens elsewhere across the rest of the league, may be walking on eggshells. They are, in a sense, taking a bet right now that things are going to go their way in the future, whether that's with – a certain guy from Akron or somebody else, they're taking a bet that someone else is going to want to be in Cleveland.
Danny, any final thoughts? Any last Colin Sexton thoughts? Any Any final things you need to get off your chest before we wrap this up?
No, nothing that anyone wants to hear, Chris.
Look, it's we're almost August. This gives me a hook to think about throughout August as it stretches on. I am hoping that this resolves itself sooner rather than later. Just
me too.
Just before August 15th.
That'd be nice. But who knows?
Who knows? The lack of information on the Colin Sexton thing is truly one of the craziest.
It is weird.
There's nothing.
Really weird. It's really weird.
Yeah. Chris Fiedler has had his little stuff, but that's kind of it. Like, he's had the contract.
I mean,
open.
Shams had his little thing in his league.
But
pass,
that was.
It's not groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah, that wasn't. But that wasn't. The Shams thing wasn't even like a full on, like. There wasn't like a data point there. It wasn't like. It was just like a vibe. It was almost like a vibe being thrown into the ether. You know
hey,
what
man,
I mean? Like,
if someone loves vibes, it's me.
Me and you, buddy. The vibe kings of talking about Colin Sexton. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Another Colin Sexton-themed podcast, because what else do we have to talk about? Antonio Daniels, Lockdown NBA expert, will be coming through for 10 minutes to talk about Sexton. And then secondly, Mark Schindler from the WNBA, right to the WNBA, Diamond Up, Rocks, other places. We're going to talk about the basketball side of this Colin Sexton question, because I think there's a lot of stuff there that we have to ask questions about, and I am skeptical of. But until next time, I'm Chris. Thanks again to Danny for coming through. Evan, hope you're enjoying a vacation. He's not going to listen to this, but Evan, if you did, let me know. Text me, buddy. Talk to you soon.